Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for the Social Hour is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is The Social Hour with Sarah Lane and Amber Mack, episode 19, recorded Monday, August 1st, 2011. This episode of The Social Hour is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/social hour. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, your Mac, your iPad, your iPhone, or your TV instantly. All streamed directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Social Hour. This is episode 19. Amber MacArthur joins me in the monitor, but you're actually not anywhere near me, even though you seem like you're right next to me.
It seems like I'm next to you, Sarah, but I am not in a car like last week, which was a bit of an adventure. I am home in my house, and it's good to not be in a place where I feel like I'm going to pass out because of the heat, although it is hot in Toronto, so I'm staying indoors for most of the day.
I'm also happy that you're not overheating in your car. I was a little worried about you. You were a trooper last week, but you seemed somewhat uncomfortable. So
it's weird. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I'm sitting in my car and it's like 3:30 in the afternoon, and then Chris comes up with Connor, and Connor's like waving at me. Then he starts crying, and I'm still doing the podcast, and he's trying to get in the car, and Chris is like, no, wait, feeding him cookies. And I was like, this is not a normal work experience.
No, absolutely not.
This in a
is
random
not,
parking
this is not the
lot.
TV we grew up on.
Yeah, this is not the glamorous life I imagined when I went into television. You know, I'm in a steaming hot car and almost about to pass out.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I'm a big fan of adventure, so I'm glad that it worked out for that show.
I'm glad too. For anybody who's like, what are they talking about? Last week was our first show on the new set. We were actually on a different set. We were on the round table set, which is a different set behind us, where a variety of other shows on TWiT are produced. And I actually kind of liked that set, but we thought, why don't we let you guys decide which one you like better? Because quite honestly, we have options now, so we might as well use the set that you guys like the most. So we're going to do this episode on this, we call it the living room set, because it's a little bit more of a casual living room type of a feel. If you want to compare the two, if you haven't seen episode 18, last week's episode, go back and watch that, see how the shots look, see which one you like better, give us some feedback, and we'll just do the show wherever you want us to do it. Unless it's Leo's office. You can't choose that one because we're not allowed in there. He finally got his own office. But Amber, so I want to know how much you have been following this rather frightening Airbnb story in the news as of late.
I have been following it, and it's a little shocking. And I've heard great things about the company in general, as far as people using it to find really interesting spaces all around the world, rent places from people who they connect with online based on the service enabling that. However, with this particular victim, with their home being ransacked, I think that is just terrifying. And the blog post the person wrote about the experience, it was just horrible to read. I read every single word, and I hope it doesn't discourage people from using the service, although at the same time, I think obviously you have to be pretty cautious.
Yeah, so for anybody who's not familiar with what happened with Airbnb and Amber, I've actually used Airbnb very successfully. I'm a fan of the service. I think it's a great idea. But there are some privacy, privacy services that Airbnb has in place that keep people from talking directly to each other until money has been exchanged. So let's say Amber, you go out of town for a week and you say, I've got this empty house in Toronto. I might as well make some money off of it. I see the place that you've put on Airbnb. The pictures are really nice. I go, I love this place. It seems great. We actually have to get into an agreement based on dates and money, and then you and I can talk to each other directly. Mm-hmm. So that's something that Airbnb puts into place just so people aren't, you know, you're not talking to a bunch of creepy people until they've paid up, basically. But it also keeps you from being able to get a really good read on somebody on an individual basis until you're already in an agreement. So Airbnb got some pretty bad press. We talked about this on Twit yesterday. Although it's really got such a social element that I figured it was worth talking about it on this show. There was a very vocal a person who had rented out her house on Airbnb. She lives in San Francisco somewhere, her apartment. I don't know if she's a homeowner or a renter. It wasn't clear to me. It doesn't really matter. But, I mean, I guess if you were a homeowner, it would just be that much more awful because it would be something, you know, your own space. But she had just had her house completely trashed by some weirdos. They had been emailing her throughout the week saying, oh, we love this house. It's so great. Meanwhile, just trashing her house. It goes above and beyond, oh, somebody had a party in my house while they were renting it. It was like methodical.
And kind of creepy, right? Like they did weird things, move stuff around. And
They cut tags out of her clothes and set things on fire. I mean, this was like your worst nightmare, pretty much. And it sounds that, you know, maybe there were drugs involved and just a bad scenario. And then Airbnb has gotten into some hot water because they have been working with this poor woman to try to financially compensate her, even though in their terms of service, they're not really required to do that because they're a third party. You know, it's almost like a service where people were sharing illegal files would say, we don't shoot the messenger. We just put you in touch with, you know, we're just the third party here. And so they're going to have to figure out how to kind of get themselves out of that PR mess. And they might have been able to handle things a little bit differently just by saying things a little bit differently. That's kind of over. And obviously, these sorts of horror stories are exceptions to the rule. But there was a TechCrunch article that we showed a minute ago while we were starting to talk about this that somebody else has come forward and said, yeah, I had some people who were in my house. They trashed the place. They left, like, meth paraphernalia all over the house, and they were trying to steal my identity, and they had stolen someone else's identity, and that's why they seemed legit in the first place. So this is socially the ideas for renting out your house if you're not using it and getting some money, renting out your car. There's that service Getaround that we talked about briefly on one of our past shows, which is renting out your car. If you know you're not going to use it for a weekend, why not get some money rather than it just sitting there? You know, you're paying all this insurance anyway. Why not get a little financial compensation out of it? All of this stuff assumes that you're not going to be dealing with crazy people who want to ruin your stuff.
So weird. You know, it reminds me a little bit of the early days of Craigslist. And I remember when I lived out in San Francisco and Craigslist was just kind of a new and exciting thing. People would put their classified items up online. And there started to be stories, if you remember back then, about people coming and, you know, maybe robbing a house after they had bought a couch from someone and all these terrible, horrific tales of, you know, what happened to just a very small percentage of people. So in my mind, it's like, many people have said, just a small percentage of bad people out there. Unfortunately, I think it's just given the company a really bad reputation very quickly. For a lot of people, it's the first time they've heard of the service. It's interesting, though, if you look at the blog post that the woman wrote, she shares the information that the person who had come and rented her apartment, she shares his contact information. And I kind of had to laugh because he calls himself DJ Patterson, except Patterson is spelled incorrectly. I mean, not incorrectly, but there's, you know, people don't spell Patterson like that. And his email address is withoutvirtual.noreality@gmail.com. And I don't know. I think if someone with this information wanted to rent my place, and I know you don't get all of this until after you make a deal, I would be a little bit suspicious. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I think, and she had said on her blog post, she had written a long blog post about the experience. In retrospect, some things seemed weird. And it's very easy to say, well, that isn't even, Patterson isn't spelled without an O, or it was kind of a weird misspelling that seems very red flaggy later on. But then again, I mean, I used to have a fake ID and my last name was spelled LN and no one ever noticed it. It's kind of like, you know, things do pass by people when they're looking at different details, right? It's like, you know, if you want to charge someone $1,000 to stay in your house for a week, maybe the way they spell their last name doesn't seem that weird as long as the other stuff is working out well. So it's easy to say, she should have known better, or you shouldn't rent out your house to crazy people. But it's like, you really don't know who you're dealing with. And that's why services like this are, you know, they can... it's such a great idea, but until people feel safe, I mean, I don't know. Should you be required to meet somebody in person in order to hand over keys? I mean, I don't think that's the solution either, because they could have anybody come meet you, you know, who looks cleaned up.
I'm not sure what a really good solution is. The only thing I will say from reading a lot about this as well is that a lot of people complained because the company didn't do anything quickly enough, and there was no way to kind of get in touch with them on an emergency basis. So there are stories of having to wait, you know, 24 hours or even longer to actually get an executive with Airbnb to write back and do something about what happened. So I think on a customer service level, there's a lot that they can improve there, and it seems as though they're working towards that.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. Hopefully we won't hear a slew of other people saying, yes, my house was also trashed, or Airbnb going to really have to rethink their business model. Like I said, I have used the service. I actually used it internationally in France and had a really good experience. So I really have nothing but positive experience with it. So I certainly don't want to seem like I'm trashing the service. It's just, it's very unfortunate that other people have had some really scary experiences. So it just, it kind of reminds us that socially, when you're online with people, you know, you can see people being weird and sort of go, I don't really want them to be in my circles on Google Plus anymore. Poof, they're gone. It's easy to block people. But when you're actually talking about being geographically in the same vicinity as somebody, and yet worse, renting out your house to someone who is an unsavory character, you just want to be really careful about that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it, you know, it's one of those things that I don't think I would be able to rent my place out to someone. I wouldn't want them rifling through my stuff. And that's just me personally.
I also have two cats, and it's like, I certainly don't want strangers taking care of my pets, and I'm not going to put them into a kennel or something just so I can make money off of some other people. It's like, I don't think I'm the right person to rent out my place. And I'm also just weird about, I wouldn't want people to look through my closets and that sort of thing. So
yeah, just weird.
Yeah.
Speaking of closets, Sarah, you have an interesting shopping app. Quite a segue, wasn't it?
Yeah, very good segue, Amber. I really liked that. The reason that I wanted to talk about an app called My Habit, which is actually an iPhone app. I should clarify that even though I'm running it on my iPad, I'm just doing that because I think it's easier for you guys to look at on our set. But this is actually an iPhone app. It's not iPad enabled. I just have it blown up to 2 times its size. It looks fine, though. It seems to work really well. This is an Amazon app that is, for anybody who's like, I have no idea what this is, why are you showing me pictures of ladies in their underwear? This is kind of a guilt group style flash sale app. And what I mean by flash sale is what they'll say is, this particular brand of dresses, we're going to offer them at you know, 60% off, but only for a short period of time. So it's like you have until 12 noon to buy this jersey dress, or that $72 price goes away. And this is made by Amazon. However, you really wouldn't know, not that it's a secret, but you wouldn't really know by looking through this app that it has anything to do with Amazon. It's called My Habit. It seems similar to some of the other flash sales. And I guess, Amber, I was wondering how you felt about this. Is it because Amazon doesn't really see itself in the same category as Guild Group and wants to be able to make money off of us, whether or not we think of Amazon as a place to participate in this kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're just kind of experimenting, you know, in the whole mobile space and that concept of flash sales. It reminds me a lot of, I think I remember being in department stores when they had sort of a flash sale for the next half an hour. All these items are discounted and, you know, pick them up within the next 30 minutes or whatever it might be. So maybe they're just kind of experimenting a little bit to see how popular it will be. However, I'm always amazed at just how big the shopping world is growing on the mobile front, and the fashion world in particular. I was using an app that I was playing around with not that long ago called Fashism, where you can literally take a picture of your outfit and then immediately people can comment on it and let you know if they like what you're wearing or if you should choose something else. And so there's really tight-knit community. So clearly there's a lot to be said about the whole shopping world online. I think there was a report that just came out today that said, you know, there were two big things people were doing on their mobile phones. Commerce is clearly a big one, as well as gaming.
Absolutely. I mean, Amazon really seems to be getting into the app space. And this is this is called My Habit. And by the way, somebody in chat was like, well, that does not look like an app that applies to me as a male. What I did was I logged in with my Amazon account. And when you first log in, if you already have an account with Amazon, that's just the account that you use. It's very easy to sign up. The first thing they ask you, are you more interested in women's, men's, or I think children's? I said women's. So that's why I'm getting a bunch of women's stuff. You could also look through a lot of men's clothes. So don't think that just because you don't like high heels that this wouldn't be the app for you. This is just sort of my chosen app experience. But Amazon also does Window Shop. That's a native iPad app. It's really good. Leo and I have talked about an iPad today where it's sort of just a different, I guess, visual for browsing Amazon. And then they also have Price Check. That's for iPhone as well. I'm not really sure why they don't have more Android apps. And that comes from the Gold Box deals. Amazon Deals is yet another app. Price Check is another one where you can scan a barcode and then see how Amazon stacks up to other places if you're thinking about buying something that, you know, $50 might make a difference. But it's interesting that Amazon seems to be, Amber, you're right. They're dipping their toes and just sort of seeing what sticks. For anybody who's familiar with the Amazon experience and loves Amazon Prime and everything, that's great. They have loyal customers already. But let's say I don't use Amazon and for whatever reason, I'm not convinced that it's the service for me, but I come across my habit and I love it and I think it's the greatest service. It's like, well, I'm still using Amazon and I don't really need to know the difference.
Yeah, and you know what? If you're really interested in this space, what's happening on the mobile front with shopping and commerce in general online, a friend of mine is on Twitter, and his Twitter name is Retail Profit, and he's amazing as far as just having a really good sense of the space and where things are going. So if you want to learn more, you may want to give him a follow.
Good idea. All right, quick reminder that we record the Social Hour Mondays. Case of the Mondays. we shoot the show live at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. If you're watching live, you might say that wasn't really true today, which is true because we had some audio issues that we were ironing out before the show. But then you get to see us fixing our set live, which is also
I did a weather report before the show. I mean, that doesn't happen.
You're
all
really
that
good at that.
Maybe watching too much television news there.
Maybe. I don't know. That's if this whole tech thing doesn't work out for you, Amber, you might want to consider meteorology. If you're not able to watch us live, that's okay. You can always go to twit.tv/TSH. That is our show page where we have all of our archives for our shows, the last 18 shows, including this one. This is also where you can subscribe to all of our shows. So if you can't watch the live stream, don't worry about it. You can subscribe to our video feed or our audio feed. If you're somebody who prefers the audio stream, that's cool too. This is also where if we ever talk about anything on the show and you miss it and you go, what was that cool Amazon app that they talked about? I didn't catch it, and I'm not in a place where I can rewind the show right now. Just go to our show notes. We had all of our links there. So if you just browse over to our show notes, within a couple of days, they go live. We're going to try to get that time limit down a little bit so that they're up at the same day as our show. But that's pretty much where everything the Social Hour related can be found. But for everybody who's watching us live, thanks for being here. It's really fun. It's fun watching you chat. And thanks for the tip on the mail tab on my app there. Someone said, yeah, Sarah, what about that men tab right at the top of your app? You could just click that and look at all the stuff for guys. You're right. That worked fine. Women, men, and kids. Yeah, that's my habits, three main categories. Before we get into some of our news from around the web this week, Amber, we should thank Audible for being our sponsor of this episode of The Social Hour. Audible.com, if you're not familiar with it, it's awesome. It's like, it's the place, it's really, it's not the only place where you can listen to audio, but it is the place for variety. They have over 75,000 titles. Think about that for a second. 75,000 titles. These are books, even certain periodicals. You could, if you're a New Yorker fan, you can have the magazine read to you. Really, really cool. Even some, car talk. I'm actually a car phobe. I'm afraid of cars. I don't understand how they work at all. But I really like car talk. And that can be read to you as well. Amber, I know that you're an Audible fan. Is there anything that you've been listening to recently that you can't live without?
I'm just kind of looking on the site right now, and it was funny. I just had a conversation last night with a friend of mine who drives down to visit family members all the time, and it's like a 5 or 6 hour drive to where he has to go in Michigan. And so he always listens to Audible books. And I know we recommended this book before, and I'll look for another one, but he had just listened to Bossy Pants by Tina Fey and absolutely loved it. So just kind of keeps the time going quickly when you are driving somewhere. And there's tons of content on the site right now. I'm trying to find a good pick here, Sarah. See if there's maybe some of the new releases. See what they have new in their library right now.
So, yeah, Chad, if you want to take my screen, I'm just looking at all of their new releases. What's neat about Audible is, like, it can be, okay, 75,000 titles. That can be really daunting. And you sort of get there and you can feel a little bit like, oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start. They have it categorized really nicely. So when you go to, by the way, audiblepodcast.com/social hour is our special URL, and I'll tell you why it's special in a minute. But once you go there and you go ahead and browse audiobooks, so this is a tab up at the top. It's really easy to find. They've got bestsellers. They've got new and notable. So if you're a frequent user of Audible, that's a place to make sure that you're up on what's new. Read by the author. That can be really fun because certain authors will read their own audiobooks. Not everybody does this, but Betty White, for example. Hey, who else is going to read Betty White's book besides Betty White? And then we've got sort of exclusive areas. Then you get it down into radio shows and periodicals. Somebody in chat was like, oh, I hate those guys from Car Talk. Well, if you hate them, maybe you wouldn't want to listen to the audio podcast. But I don't know. I like them. I think they're pretty cool. The New Yorker is where I found this as well. You can also click on samples so you can get an idea of what you would be listening to and just get a sense of if it's the right book for you.
Hey, Sarah, maybe this would be a good one. There's a book called Always On, How the iPhone Unlocked the Anything, Anytime, Anywhere Future and Locked Us In. So it's called Always On by Brian Chen. And it looks like it's narrated by Brian Chen. But again, just because we've talked a little bit about mobile, it'd be interesting to read how our culture has changed just based on being able to have smartphones in our pockets all the time.
Absolutely. Let's see if we can click on a sample from Brian.
The iPhone had everyone fooled. Even Steve Jobs didn't know quite what he had when he introduced the keyboardless gadget in 2007. Today we're introducing three revolutionary products, Jobs said during his keynote speech at Macworld Expo. An iPod, a phone, and an internet communicator. An iPod, a phone. He paused a beat. Are you getting it? These are not three separate devices. This is one device. We're calling it iPhone.
I feel like it's really hard to quote Steve Jobs and sound as interesting as Steve Jobs sounds when he's on the stage, you know, and everyone's going crazy. But no, this is really cool. This is great. Always On, How the iPhone Unlocked the Anything, Anytime, Anywhere Future and Locked Us In. Well, it certainly locked me in, so I can relate. You can just search for Always On when you go to audiblepodcast.com/social hour. By the way, if you're like, what was that special that you were going to tell us about, Sarah? If you go to audiblepodcast.com/social hour, you can choose an audiobook for free. You just have to sign up for the service and you get book of choice. So it can be Always On and could be anything you want, which is a great way to just see if Audible is the right service for you. It's awesome. It's a different way of consuming information, that's for sure. I love Audible when I'm commuting. I do a lot of commuting. Amber, you are always in the car. You do shows from your car sometimes.
You know what? It's funny because I used to, I never used to listen to audiobooks when I would fly because I would always watch movies and TV shows. But I'm kind of sick of just sitting there watching the screen and I want to kind of relax and, you know, just sort of, you know, tune out a little bit and listen to an audiobook and get really immersed in a story. So I've started to listen to more audiobooks on flights and it's been amazing, you know, especially when you're flying at night and you have this really great book and it's quiet and it's just a good way to spend some or lots of time if you have a long flight.
Absolutely. audiblepodcast.com/social hour and we thank them so much for their support of our little show. So a man from an agency that worked with this band that had pinged us, Amber, who told us about a really interesting project that they were doing via Instagram.
Yeah, this is really fun. So the band is from the UK called The Vaccines, and they are crowdsourcing their newest music video. So basically they're using Instagram, asking people to submit their photos, and they can use a particular hashtag, vaccines video, and their videos could potentially show up in the music video for this band. And I didn't know a lot about The Vaccines, but when I had started to talk to people about this email that this individual sent to us, it's a really great band.
Yeah, they are playing Lollapalooza in just a few days. They're going to be at Outside Lands Festival, which is a local festival in San Francisco, which is, you know, it's a big name kind of event later on. I'm not familiar with them either, Amber, and I feel kind of bad because they're obviously on the summer tour circuit, and they seem pretty cool. We're watching just a little kind of teaser video that they put together to explain how they're going to crowdsource their video. But the idea is... And I'm not really sure why it has to be pictures that people tag at actual events. Maybe that's just the point of the new video. Maybe it's a song about being on the road. I'm not really sure. But the idea is take a picture, and Instagram is really good about this. A lot of people have relationships with Instagram where if you tag something, food spotting, for example, if you tag any picture, hashtag food, it also goes to food spotting if you're a food spotting member. And the Vaccines are doing the same thing with their video. You just tag vaccines video. That's the hashtag. Any picture. They say pictures at events. So I guess the idea is the concert going crowd type of a thing. They're obviously going to be at a lot of concerts over the summer, so it's probably pretty easy to do that. But it doesn't say that you have to be at their show. It's just kind of the culture of it, I guess. And Anomaly Agency, yeah, it was Alfred Malmros from Anomaly Agency had actually pinged Kate Russell, who forwarded him to us, who said, I know two people who might be very interested in this project. And I'm really glad she did.
Yeah, it's funny. When I was talking to someone about this story, my friend Laura turned me on to Tara Naomi, who you may know many years ago. She was a YouTube favorite. She was one of the early kind of artists to come out on YouTube and have a big hit. I think that was in about 2006. Mm-hmm. She recently launched a music video, and she did a similar type of thing where she kind of crowdsourced images. Instead, she used Hipstamatic. And I didn't realize this, but Alex Albrecht directed the video, and it's a really, really wonderful song that you can search for up on YouTube just by searching for Tara Naomi. So it looks like it's kind of a trend doing this, sort of getting people to submit photos, but photos that are using digital filters.
Yeah, I actually have heard of her because her agent happens to be the agent of, not me, I don't have one, but a lot of our contemporaries in the tech media space. And yes, I learned of her through him. And you're right, Alex Albrecht did direct her latest video, and I think they had some launch parties. So she's definitely worth checking out as well. But I love this idea. Not only does it almost take the pressure off the band to make a video, and not that they want to be lazy about it, but it's like it's like everybody wins because the band just says, okay, well, here's all of our information. We have, what, 5,000 pictures? Now we just kind of, I don't know, dissolve between them to the beat and we're good to go. It's probably more complicated than that. But they don't actually have to put together some complicated video. I'm not watching as many videos as I used to watch these days, but I know that a lot of money goes into the making behind music videos. So if you were a big fan of The Vaccines and you submitted a picture via Instagram and you're an Instagram user anyway, and you end up getting into the video, I mean, that would be really awesome. I'd be thrilled.
Sure. And I think, you know, another thing on a promotional level, if you think about it, when you're asking a huge community like this to submit their pictures, you can only imagine that all of a sudden you have this tiny little army of people who are going to want to promote the video when it goes live through their social networks because they're featured in the video of a big band. So it seems like it's a win-win for everyone and just harnessing the power of online communities as well. Sarah, for our next story, we're going to jump over a little bit and talk about Facebook.
All right.
Um, I, I know we've been using Google Plus a lot, and I thought, oh, it's, you know, maybe time for a little dive in to see what Facebook is doing. And it's kind of interesting. I'm not sure if you heard the news that they've recently launched an online guide for businesses who want to use Facebook pages better. So the platform where you're able to promote your products or services. So they have this great little guide that you can get on the Facebook site. Really simple, just some tips to get started, how you can advertise on Facebook, tips for getting people to join your page and all those type of things that were, not that they were hidden on Facebook before, but it was hard to get, there was no real destination where you could go as a page owner and understand exactly what you should be doing. And so it seems like they've launched this, but the timing is probably pretty good considering that Google Plus still hasn't released their brand pages. So Facebook still has a little bit of time to continue to capture that business audience.
Oh, you're so right. This is, it's funny. It's like nobody does anything by accident anymore. It's Facebook is like, this is the time to become very brand friendly because brands are having a really hard time figuring out where they fit on Google Plus because the Google Plus folks are like, we'll get there, but we're just not ready for you yet. So I'm looking at facebook.com/business. They've got a nice little tutorial video here, but it's like, here's how you use pages, ad section, sponsored stories, the platform in general. So if I go ahead and click on get started, this looks like a really well laid out tutorial for anybody who is trying to figure out where your brand fits on Facebook. I would probably get a lot out of this. I have a Facebook page. I don't like to think of it as a brand, but it's my public Facebook page rather than a private profile. And for the most part, I think I use it correctly. I import tweets because I want to be able to be talking there regularly. Sometimes I'll just update via my Facebook page. So I don't want people to think that I'm just pumping in content from somewhere else and not interacting. And there's some pictures there and this and that, but I know that I'm not using it to its fullest. I've always kind of felt like the page could be better, but I'm not really sure what other options I have. So this is probably a really good place to look through if you have anything along those lines, especially if it's actually a brand or a retail store or something like that.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I really liked about it is a lot of people are confused about ads within Facebook and wondering if they should do ads or not. And this spells it out really nicely in just a few different steps. You can find out how to create an ad, how to make it engaging and interesting, how to manage your budget, reviewing the ad, and what all the stats mean when you get those stats back after you put an ad out there on Facebook. So this is really valuable information, I think, as well.
Totally agree. Oh,
the weird story is next, Sarah.
You think this is, yeah, it is weird. We were actually going to talk about this last week. We didn't have time to get to it, but I didn't want it to fade away into the ether because it is actually pretty weird. So I'm going to show you a site that I have joined, and it's called Office Leaks. So this is officeleaks.com. Now, I'm already logged in, so you are seeing my personal page, Office Leaks. Well, you can sign up like anybody else, but you're looking at my personal page. I have made myself a pirate because why not? But that's not necessarily what you have to look like. The whole idea with Office Leaks is people are comfortable talking about some things, maybe uncomfortable things in the workplace, maybe about their boss or their coworker if they can't be traced. So I had just wrote an update last week. I'm worried about switching between computer outputs during the social hour. How will Chad handle it? Is he even going to work so stressed? So that's sort of a joke update. I actually was kind of worried about it, but I wasn't that stressed about it. Okay. So that was my update. Now, if you were to find this update and we were connected on Office Leaks, my identity would not be revealed within my organization. So Twit is a small company. So I think it really, Office Leaks will work very differently with a small company with just a few people working there than it would somewhere like Facebook with thousands of people working there. But the idea is to have candid conversations about what is working and not working within your organization without getting in trouble. And they're not the only service that has tried this stuff out. And obviously we all know with anonymous comments that things can get really ugly when you're allowed to be anonymous, but it also gives people a feeling of, I don't know, I guess safety because they know that they can speak from the heart without there being repercussions. The problem I have with Office Leaks is I just don't know when you'd ever read anything positive, because it would just be people complaining about stuff, and you don't want to complain and have anyone say, oh, Sarah, all Sarah does is complain. But if it's just someone within Twit complaining about something, the idea is that maybe these solutions will get fixed. You know, Leo maybe goes and reads the Twit stream within Office Leaks and realizes that we're all really upset that the fridge doesn't open or something like that. But nobody actually wanted to say it to his face. But it does kind of seem like a place to be negative.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, it sort of rubs me the wrong way a little bit, in the sense that I just wouldn't feel comfortable using it, even though there are levels of privacy within the service. I mean, at some point when you start complaining about something, it doesn't take people very long. They're always curious about if they're within an organization, and they have a sense, I think, about, you know, who it could be who was saying a particular thing. And I just wouldn't, you know, want to be in a situation where you ever wrote anything like that on a site. So it almost at first seemed a little bit more like a joke to me, in a way, you know, like, oh, here's a place you can go and vent and you know, leak all this information about what's happening within your organization. So we'll see what happens. I did click on some of the different links, and it is hard to kind of view information. It's not as open of a form as I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. And you would know that just from signing up, where you see, like, it's, you know, they try to close it down a little bit to protect your privacy. But I'm not sure how much this site will necessarily take off. Then again, who knows? I mean, I'm always amazed that people complain so publicly on Facebook and other sites about hating their jobs. So maybe it'll be a hit.
Right. I guess we're lucky enough to have jobs that we really like. I
mean, yeah, maybe that's
if I really hated my job, Office Leaks would be my number one destination every day to kind of air my grievances. It's worth mentioning for anybody who's like, oh my gosh, you know, what's the privacy situation here? If you got outed on Office Leaks, even though you thought that you were private, you know, aren't you really screwed? Apparently, all records of email addresses are destroyed once your confirmation process is complete. So I signed up with my twit.tv email, but apparently Office Leaks won't keep that if anybody was sniffing around for me later. That's straight out of those are the words of the CEO. So assuming that that's all true. And then account info is encrypted with the user password, which can't be reset. So nobody can go in there and kind of fudge around and try to figure out how to become me. At least they've done what they can to make sure that doesn't happen. So if it seems like a service that you would like, but you're worried about getting caught, I guess they're trying to make sure that you don't. But yeah, I don't know. We're lucky.
Yeah, we're lucky, I suppose. But if anyone out there is using it, you can always send us an email and let us know what you think of it, if you think it's a good idea. And I guess we wouldn't reveal your identity, but you could just let us know and we could read your anonymous letter.
That's right. Yes, we promise to keep you anonymous. Or do we? No, I'm just kidding. Yep. We will. We got an email from Matt. Gosh, I want to make sure I say your name right. Ciceriello. I hope that's how you say it, Matt. Matt says, even though I'm only 17, I want to be somebody whose opinions and views in tech and social media are taken seriously in the technology and social side of the world. You're not alone, Matt. I'm with you on that. I have a passion for this unlike anything else. I'll do anything to see that this one dream will one day become true. Both of you have been in the field long enough to know that most people know, been in this field long enough, more than most people, to know the ins and outs of the field. Thank you, Matt. What does it take to be successful in this? What's a good starting point? And what are some guidelines to abide by? So I think, Amber, Matt is saying, listen, I'm only 17, so that's why I'm just getting started. But a lot of people, I think, have the exact same feeling, and they're not necessarily just coming out of high school. They're just getting into the social space for the first time. And I'm not sure that there is a magic way to immediately become respected and taken seriously. I think you just kind of have to build yourself up.
It does take time, although I would say one thing is that I think people Matt's age and other teenagers are in a fantastic position right now to go out there and try to kind of claim their space online if they're really interested and are passionate about a certain topic, whether they want to be a baker or they're into tech, to kind of start a blog and establish themselves as an expert in that world. And I wanted to inspire Matt by telling a story about an individual who I've become quite close with. I'm sort of a mentor, I guess, of his now. His name is Winston C, and he's 16 years old. You can check him out at winstonc.com, and it's winstonsih.com. Now, Winston is 16 years old, and he wrote me probably about 6 months ago, maybe a little bit longer, because I host a live tech show here in Toronto, and he said he pitched me on a really good idea about coming on the show. He wanted to review a bunch of products, and he sent me the best television pitch I've ever had in my life, like tons of information, what he was going to show, what he was going to do, and, you know, we sort of went back and forth a couple of times, and he's so thorough, and he's so smart, and just he's just excellent at his job. Now, keep in mind, I say his job, and he's still in high school. He does a bunch of stuff. He has a show on YouTube. He blogs. He does television experiences or appearances now, and so he's really started to build a brand for himself just by going out there and doing it, and just being relentless and pouring all his extra time and energy into establishing himself as a tech expert. So check him out, see what he does, and see how he's kind of gotten to where he has arrived so quickly, and now he's started to become a pretty respected voice in the tech space. So he's 16, so great inspiration for lots of people out there who are young and want to have
absolutely
that type of presence.
So Winston's site is winstonsih.com if anyone wants to check out his site. You're right, Amber. He really looks like he knows his stuff. I think also it's funny because you and I both started not as social media experts, if we even call ourselves that now. There wasn't social media as we know it when I got into this business. I mean, I wasn't even working when Twitter went live. I remember somebody, I think it was Kevin Rose actually, emailing me and saying, you got to get an account before someone else takes your name. You know, I was like in Argentina. I didn't even know what Twitter was. But this is all, you know, the landscape has changed a lot in just a few short years, and will again in another few short years. And it seems like, depending on if people want to become respected writers, if they want to do video podcasts the way that we do, or both, or something else, it's like there are so many services that you can try out and see what sticks, and kind of also be able to be honest with yourself when you're not as good at something as you might be at something else. I mean, if writing really isn't your forte, maybe you'd be a great host. Maybe you're really good at explaining demos on camera. Maybe you're not great on camera, and you're a great writer, or you take amazing pictures. Or, I mean, there seems to be a place for everybody, but you almost have to know what your niche is.
Yeah, and I think you have an opportunity now to do so much research online. Like, let's say you want a job somewhere or an internship, or you want a mentor. You can find those people online. I never had this when I was growing up, where you could go onto a website and just say, hey, I want to find this person on Twitter and connect with them. It was a lot more difficult. I remember when I first applied for the job to co-host on Call for Help, I actually went to a bookstore and bought a bunch of Leo's books and, you know, read them all and tried to learn more about him. But it's not like, there wasn't that easy access that there is now with Twitter and Facebook and these other tools. So I think people need to learn how to take advantage of that. Unfortunately, it's not necessarily taught in schools. And so a lot of these young people, I don't know if they have people who they can kind of turn to, but hopefully we've helped Matt out a little bit.
Absolutely. Before we get to our well-loved, beloved Rad or Fad segment, Amber, we should thank Netflix for sponsoring this episode of The Social Hour. Audible and Netflix, you guys are our best friends today. If you're not familiar with Netflix, I don't know where you've been, because Netflix is great. In fact, I love them even more because they have the entire catalog of Mad Men now live on instant streaming, which is new. That's new as of last week, and it's pretty awesome. I've already seen all the Mad Men episodes, but I'd like to go through them again. But if you've never watched the show, this is a perfect, perfect time for you to get caught up, because the next season doesn't start till early 2012. So you've got plenty of time. Netflix.com. Once you go there, if you're like, well, what do I really have to choose from here? You just go ahead and browse your selections. These are instant streaming new arrivals. They're constantly updating. These are not only movies, but again, TV shows. Something, you know, that's a few seasons in, that's a lot of content. That's a lot of fun for you to be able to watch. Now, Netflix is like, it's not just, if you've Remember Netflix as, oh yeah, they send you DVDs in the mail and you watch them and then you send them back and you get a new DVD? Yes, that is still that service. They also do instant streaming though, and that has made my life a lot easier because I can watch Netflix via my Roku box, via my Apple TV, straight from my Sony TV, which has a Netflix widget, on my iPad. If you have a variety of gaming consoles, you can watch Netflix through those too. If you start a movie or TV show or whatever somewhere, you can pause it and pick it back up via your iPad, or you know, you start on your iPad and you want to go home and finish that movie you weren't able to finish while you were on the plane. You can do that at home in your living room. So really gives you a lot of flexibility and choices as far as watching content. And quality's great. I love Netflix. And again, they're always adding really cool movies and series to their collection, which makes them, you know, it's not just the same old 100 shows over and over kind of thing. They're building and they're growing, and they have a variety of pricing models depending on what kind of model you are looking for. You want to do the DVDs, you want to do instant streaming, they've got options. If you are not already a Netflix member, and I know probably the vast majority of you are, but if you're not, go to netflix.com/twit and you get 1 month free. So you can just give it a whirl. You got 30 days to watch as much content as you want. After that, you'll probably be hooked, and then you can figure out what you want your Netflix subscription model to be. Again, you have some choices, but get your 1 month free trial. And if for whatever reason you're like, yeah, I know, I've done that, I've been a Netflix member for many years, you probably can think of somebody who has never used Netflix before who would love that 30 days free of content. And it's kind of like giving them a little present. Hey, you want to watch some free movies? Check it out and send them to netflix.com/twit and help us out too while you're at it. And we thank them very much for supporting us. I want to remind you that we love your feedback. TheSocialHour@twit.tv is how you can email us. You can leave us a voicemail at 2626-SOCIAL, S-O-C-I-A-L. That's our Google voice number. And if you want to record a video and upload it somewhere and send us a link, we'd be happy to run it on the show. Try to keep those to 30 seconds or less. We do get videos from you, and sometimes they're a little on the long side, and so they don't really work within our format. And we hate to not be able to run your cool stuff. So if you can just keep it on the short side, that's awesome. We really appreciate it. And it's always nice to see everybody smiling back at us, because we appreciate you watching us. So send us your videos, and then we can all be featured on the show, because it is very social after all. All right, Amber.
Rad or fad?
I'm ready.
Sarah. All right. So there's a lot of pressure every week, Sarah, to come up with a rad or fad segment. You know, I scour the internet for hours on end, and I think I found an interesting story to talk about. Let's say that you go to a hotel, a really cool hotel on an exotic island, and you're hanging out, kind of a party scene, and you want to update your Facebook profile, but mm-hmm. you don't have your smartphone on you or your computer on you. Well, now there's an opportunity at this new promotional campaign at a hotel on the Spanish island of Ibiza, where you can use a wristband to update your profile at certain sort of kiosks or stations within the resort. And I think we have a little video. I'm not sure if we can play that, but
I can. Let me just make sure I'm not muted.
Industry. Guests and party people can now share their Ushuaia experiences through an RFID wristband and the specially made Facebook pillars we've placed throughout the hotel. It's quite simple. With this free red wristband you get at the entrance, you're able to log into your Facebook profile. By holding your wristband in front of these pillars, a connection is made to your profile, and your offline Ushuaia experiences are shared on your Facebook wall in real time. Thanks to an RFID chip, we can automatically connect your Facebook account to this wristband. This bracelet then becomes your Ushuaia sharing lucky charm. You're now ready to take and share pictures at the beach, the swimming pool, or at the party stage. Or like events and check in with Facebook places. Thanks to this new interactive experience, Ushuaia Ibiza Beach Hotel is once again setting the benchmark for innovation in the hotel industry. Optimizing your stay and maximizing the party. Make all your Facebook friends jealous. Share the Ushuaia magic.
Wow. All right. First of all, Okay. Where do I start? I think the idea is actually really neat. I've never seen anything like this before. I mean, I guess depending on what you consider like a fun vacation, you might look at that and be like, that sounds like a party I'd like to go to. Or, oh my gosh, worst nightmare. Do not want to hang out with those people. No judgment. But so what's the so you get a Facebook wristband, and then let's say you want to upload a video or upload a picture rather, just because you have the wristband, how does that happen?
But my understanding is that all the little kiosks or stands probably have cameras in them.
I see.
And I'm guessing, and I don't know if this is true, they must be strategically placed throughout the resort. So if I could go up to the camera, maybe like there's a club scene behind me or the pool, and I could be like, hey, look at me. I'm having a great time, right?
Yeah.
And do a really fun pose with a friend. But Sarah, before we talk a little bit more about whether we think this is rad or fad, I have to ask you, I'm not sure if you watch The Daily Show, but doesn't the narrator in that video sound like John Oliver on The Daily Show?
Yeah, that's exactly. I was like, something seems familiar about this. Maybe that's what it is.
And so I kept like, I researched it a little bit because I was like, is this a parody? Because it has that, just because I watch The Daily Show so much and I've heard John Oliver and I love him. He's hilarious.
Yeah.
But I was watching the video. I was like, is this a joke? Am I going to report? I'm going to be one of those journalists who goes and reports on something that is a parody that's happened online. But I found the story on a few different websites. So it looks legitimate. It looks like it's actually a real technology that they have in place. And before you say what you think of it, I think it's actually kind of cool. I think it's interesting to be able to interact with the social world without having a device on you.
I kind of agree with you. I'm not sure if me personally, it's sort of like, I'm trying to think of if the general population would enjoy something like this. I don't know that this makes sense for me, because it's like somebody, Emmerich in our chat room was like, who is going to go to a resort and not have a smartphone on them where they could upload their own picture to Facebook? Very good point. And many of us would. But maybe you don't want to worry about that. I mean, maybe you kind of like the, hey, this resort has done this fun thing for us. So we wear these silly wristbands and we have fun at the kiosks. And we all, maybe the kiosks are arranged right in front of the pool. So, and the lighting is just right. So everyone kind of has a similar picture,
yeah,
almost like a photo booth. And they upload those to Facebook. And so it makes that vacation like, oh, it was, you know, camaraderie. We were all together. I can see how sort of the corniness of it could make the experience fun, as long as everybody was on the same page.
Oh, yeah. And I also think, you know, if I were 21 years old and hanging out at this great resort and pretty much everybody's on Facebook, I'm curious, because the video doesn't quite explain it, if there's an added level to the interaction. You know, you imagine, sure, you can upload and make your friends jealous, but can you also network with the people who are there and connect with them on Facebook, so you all kind of keep in touch and you sort of become this community, this little group of people who is meeting in person, but also establishing relationships online too. So it'll be interesting to see how it rolls out. I think I kind of put it in the rad category, I think.
Yeah? Are you a soft rad? I don't know if you sound like you're like a full capital letter rad on this.
I'm a soft rad because I have visions of touring Europe when I was like 19 years old. And if they had technology like that, my career would be over. So
totally.
It's in my head.
Oh, yeah. I went to Cancun after high school. So I was like 18. Those pictures are not for Facebook consumption, that's for sure. But I think this is kind of rad too, because it's unique. I haven't seen anything like this before for a certain group of people, you know, like a bachelorette party, or I don't know. I mean, a party where everyone's sort of like, we're going to hang out at this resort, very destination type of thing. We're going to have fun and dance, take pictures, that sort of thing. This could keep you from having to take your phone wherever you go and just kind of make things easier. And it's lighthearted. I think it's rad too. Until we hear some horrible story about how somebody wandered off the resort and was immediately put in some armored car and never seen again. I'm going to go with rad.
Wow. All right. On that note, maybe
I'll
read
it's Ibiza. You never know. Yeah. Ibiza. It's a crazy place.
You never know. We did get an email follow-up to last week's Rad or Fad segment. This is from Jacob Loeb, I think is his name. He writes, I wanted to write you in regards to the Rad or Fad segment around the Old Spice Fabio marketing ploy. Although I agree that it is not personally engaging, it did capture the interest of my 17-year-old daughter. She saw the TV ad, jumped online to see the teaser on YouTube, and then participated in the duel between the original Old Spice guy and Fabio held the next day. I have come to rely on my daughters to bring home the future of big online successes. I can bet that if they are interested in something, a large number of their friends are as well. Perhaps this was read just to a younger audience. And I think he has a really great point. I often turn to teenagers or family members or, who I know and just kind of bounce stuff off them because it is a, you know, it's a different demo, right?
Totally. Jacob, very good point. Amber and I, this was last week, last week's Radar Fad, where we both said, I mean, does anyone, well, not does anyone even know who Fabio is anymore. I mean, I know who it is, but would a 17-year-old have any idea that he was this romance novel kind of like pretty boy back in the day? Maybe not. Maybe they do, but that was sort of like a olden day thing and it's become something completely different now. And now it's this, I don't know, aging guy with long hair. I'm not sure how 17-year-old
you love
Fabio.
Him, Sarah.
It's true. I'm just trying to cover up for the fact that he's my dream man. But yeah, it can be very different what is cool depending on your age bracket. And if a bunch of 17-year-old teenagers love the idea of Fabio battling Old Spice guy and are trying to participate and you know get their tweets read or whatever the campaign was, then that's a win, whether we think it's fad or not. So thank you, Jacob, for reminding us that people younger than us have a lot of pull in this whole meme social world we live in.
Sarah, before we sign off on the show, I did want to mention that whoever's listening right now or watching the show, you need to make sure you do the same next week and the week after and the week after. However, I wanted to announce that we have Guy Kawasaki confirmed, yay, as you know, for next Monday. He is fantastic. Should be a really great conversation. And the following week, we have Scott Stratton on, thanks to Sarah reminding me what a fantastic person he is. And he is a friend of mine and he has agreed to come on the week after Guy. So we'll have some really great social conversations that you don't want to miss.
Absolutely not. And now that we're in our new studio and we've got a reminder too, let us know. Did you like the round table set from last week? Or do you like this living room set from this week better? Because we can kind of do whatever you guys want. Now that we're a couple weeks in, Amber and I held off on guests just to make it a little bit easy on ourselves and you as far as prep goes. But we really do like having an awesome guest on our show. And Guy Kawasaki is... Amber, you guys are buddies. I don't even think I could get him on any of my shows. So thank you for knowing cooler people than I do. But yeah, I mean, he's awesome. I can't wait to talk to him. And that'll be our first guest on our new set, whatever it may be next week. But thanks, everybody, for hanging tight while we figure out where our new show is going to live in our new studios. But
lots of votes, Sarah, for the living room set, I have to say. I've been watching the tweet stream go across, and a lot of people say, since it is the social hour, and if you're listening, you have no idea what we're talking about, but it is a more casual set.
Yes,
sitting,
that's true. That's chair. True. And the other set, I'm in Leo's Dr. Evil chair, which I don't know, maybe looks a little too formal for the social hour, which is obviously a very casual, conversational type of a show. So yeah, whatever you guys like, make sure you email us at thesocialhour@twit.tv. You can tweet Amber or I. Of course, we're always on all of our social networks, Google+, Facebook. You know where to find us. We're everywhere. It's kind of what we do. All right, that's it. We're done. Amber, thanks so much for joining us. Episode 19 is in the can. Have a great week online. Amber, I'll see you all over the place. And we'll see you guys next week.
All right. See you later, Sarah.
Bye, everybody.